Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Hey guys, Amy here. I just wanted to let you all know that we have set up a Buy Me a Coffee account. What is Buy Me a Coffee, you ask? Well, it's a platform where you can donate as little as the cost of a coffee to our podcast. Your donation will go towards the running costs of this podcast. Our goal is to reach $480, which is the yearly cost of our platform host, Buzzsprout. You can find the link to our Buy Me a Coffee page on our socials, Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, and Instagram, or at our blog, which is www.fridaynightwinefight.blogspot.com or at www.buymeacoffee.com/FNWF podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Now on with the show.
Welcome to Friday Night Wine Fight.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Amy.
And I'm Bianca. We are three Melbourne women who had nothing better to do than start a podcast. Women.
When did we decide to be women?
We are women.
Did we take a vote?
No, Bianca's just decided this for us.
Okay.
I decided this after my half bottle of Monticello Pisano and my new bottle. And look. We didn't have nothing better to do. We had plenty of better things to do, yet we still decided to start this damn podcast, and we're still going 18 months later. You're welcome. So we take our aim at one topic each week with a bottle or three of wine or whatever the fumblies or let Sarah drink, and we try to make some sense of the topic. So, ladies, what are we drinking?
Bum bum.
Oh.
Yeah. Move on to Amy.
Ooh, it's me. I am drinking Jen Pfeiffer, the Bubbles Rebel.
The Bubbles Rebel.
The Rebel Bubbles.
Get to be like, the Bubbles Rebel.
The Bubbles Rebel. That's what I'm drinking, the Rebels Bubbles. Jesus Christ. Double recordings of fun, yeah. Y'all. Sips fun. Okay. I am drinking bubbles again, so I probably will die once I finish this bottle. You're welcome.
I've moved on to Mount Boff.
So yep. Far behind.
Mount Boff. It's a Merlot, and it is from our wine pyramid scheme, I think. Or is this a random one? Nope.
I bought that for you.
Did you? Oh, yeah, you did too. This is not a wine pyramid scheme. This is a Sarah special.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't ask me where I got it from because I can't remember.
Let me read the back for you. We haven't done this in a while. The youthful Merlot is all about structure. An elegant, medium-bodied wine. The ripe cherry and plum fruits lead to fine, firm tannins and a bright lick of acidity to finish. Crying out for red meat.
I tell you what I'm not after I've had a bottle of Merlot, and that's a structured human. So I feel like that's misleading.
Yeah, I'm definitely, I don't know, like, oh, I'm last tonight, so... Yeah, this is great. So, yes, I did get through the rest of that bottle. It is empty from last week, which was only 5 minutes ago. So, yes, I'm doing well, people, right?
Dear God, save me.
Just letting you know, if you die, Sarah and I get to read your segment.
Oh yeah, go for it. It's great. I just wing it. Generally, just in a general fashion.
I'm holding my
wine glass and I'm gesturing while I'm talking. I really should put it down. There is wine all over my desk at the moment from last episode.
Whoopsies.
Yeah. So I really got to stop gesturing while I'm drinking. Anyway, Sarah, what is our topic for tonight?
So this week's topic, I got the choice to choose this week's topic.
Yes.
And I didn't put any thought into it at all.
Well, it was some sort of world history. And
it was world history. And I was half asleep.
Yeah.
And I just went, and Europe.
The discussion was we should narrow world history down. Yeah. Obviously.
There's a lot of world history.
Yeah. And Sarah went, Europe. Yeah.
And then you asked for a time period.
Yep.
And I said 1700s.
Yep.
Not realizing that the 1700s was actually quite boring.
So it was the 1600s, but I'll get into that in my segment of why I looked at that.
Yep.
So, yeah, I went through so much. So I went through, I was going to do Peter the Great because, you know, he had that whole no beards thing. Bianca will go into that more than likely because she seems to be excited.
I didn't even write it down because you had put down that you were doing Russia and then I didn't.
Because I was going to do Peter the Great, who did want to modernize at that time, modernize Russia, and he wanted it to be more European.
Yes. Yeah.
Technically, it's already European because it's fucking in Europe. So,
yeah. Okay. Right?
Already, step one, winning. Europe.
Tick. You're going to make your list, join Europe, fucking tick.
Be
a country in Europe, tick. I'm fucking smacking.
Make a list, tick. Fucking yes, two things ticked.
He made all the women in court wear European dresses, like French European dresses.
That was the style of the time.
As was the style of the time. And he put a tax on beards because he wanted men to shave their beards off to look more European.
Also, it really helps with the Black Death and the lice and stuff. So
it really probably did help.
Yeah, with general hygiene. So
actually, Peter the First did a lot of good things for Russia. Just saying.
Hmm.
And so did his wife, but his second wife, Catherine. But
Which is that show? Was it
The Great?
The Great, yes.
I haven't watched it yet. I have. Fucking love it. It's not fully true to history, just saying.
Yeah.
But it's damn fucking funny.
That's what my mum said.
Yeah.
And if she liked it and thought it was funny, then it must actually be funny because she's a bit odd.
I'm telling you it's funny, therefore it's funny.
We can say that because she doesn't listen to this podcast.
No. Because she has enough of our ramblings on a general basis.
Same with my family. It's okay. I decided to go through several different things. I was going to do Scotland. Then I went on to maybe I should do some foods. And then I went, no. And then I was going to do something else and then something else. So, yes.
Mm.
I chose this topic without thinking. And I settled on my subject at about 6:30, 7 o'clock this morning as I started work. And went, that's what I'm fucking doing.
Amazing.
Yeah. So what I'm actually going to be doing is stupid deaths.
Stupid deaths, stupid deaths. Sorry, horrible histories.
They're funny because they're true.
Yeah.
Okay, horrible histories. Thank you.
Yes.
You really made something that I can be passionate about. And that is stupid ways to die. Oh, I love that show.
Oh, same.
Can we bring back stupid deaths, people?
Yes. Just the segment would be fine. Like, just the segment, just for a start. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, my first one is Julia. Oh, yeah, by the way, I didn't fucking learn names. It's mainly French names, so my bad. So, Julien Aufray de la Mattrie. I don't know.
He's
a tree. So.
I met him.
So he died at the age of 41. So 1709 to 1751. He was born in Saint-Malo in France, and he died of overeating at a feast given in his honor.
Party too hard.
Here is a feast. Please gorge yourself to death. Oh, wait, he did. Oh, shit, I didn't mean that literally. I'm sorry. Nope, too late. Okay, can we just bury him out the back? Thank you. Yes, I'd love a dessert. Oh, that's great. Next is George Willem Richmond. He died 42. It must be a thing with the 40s.
That was old age at that time. That was like real old.
It was, and that's really sad. So 1711 to 1753. He was from Estonia. So he became the first recorded person to be killed whilst performing electrical experiments.
Oh.
When he was struck and killed by a globe of ball lightning.
Whoopsie.
Oh, he was trying to make one of those Some of those things from the 90s. Those balls you put your hands on, your hair stands up.
He was trying to invent them, yes.
Yeah.
Clearly, he did live in an era where warning labels were not a thing.
This is why.
Yeah.
Ever since then, there has been a warning label on ball lightning. Warning, do not touch. Fear of death.
Yeah.
However, creating lightning in a bottle is a children's experiment these days. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, Adolf Fredrik, King of Sweden.
Oh, my bit's on him too.
Oh, really?
You yeah. guys really should have coordinated this. I mean, what the fuck are you doing with this topic?
No, I can't see any of my bit in Sarah's, so it's fine.
Oh, excellent. Well, yeah. You know how her bit ends now, people. So...
Spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert! So he lived from 1710 to 1771, died of the ripe old age of 60.
Mm-hmm. Fuck, he was ancient.
God, he was fucking ancient.
Yeah.
And he was actually born in Germany, which doesn't surprise me because fucking Europe and fucking moved everywhere. So he also died of indigestion. So on the 12th of February 1771, after having consumed a meal consisting of lobster, caviar, sauerkraut, smoked herring, champagne, then topped it off with 14 servings of his favorite dessert, Semla, which was served in a bowl of hot milk.
I don't know what Semla is, but it's going to be sick.
Wait, so lots of seafood, champagne and hot milk. Yeah, I'm dead.
Yeah. So, yeah, his stomach couldn't quite handle the mixture and the amount, and it actually burst.
Oh, semla is a traditional sweet roll made from various forms. Like it's a sweet roll, like a scone.
So it's a sweet bread.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've just eaten all that shit and then you've had 14 serves of bread in milk?
Yep. Yeah.
I'm sorry, sir, but you deserve to die.
That's a carbo load if I've ever seen one.
Sounds like he was in for a big drinking session at your house.
That yeah, sounds like stupid deaths.
Again, like
a lamb. Wasted time. Yep.
So, and then, yeah, just for a bit of fun, there was, on May 25th in 1720, a ship named the Grand Saint Antoine? Okay. Which arrived at the port of, is it Marseille?
Yeah.
Yeah, in France, laden with cotton, fine silks and other goods. And the visible cargo, it also carried the bacteria known as, what was it? Yersinia. I think that's how they say it. Pesta.
Yersinia?
Yersinia? No, no. My computer's far away from me now. I found a comfortable position. I moved my computer away. I'm looking at a distance.
From a distance.
You're blind.
I am blind. But I'm comfortable, so that's how it works. So that launched the Great Plague of Provence.
Oh.
Which was the last major outbreak of the bubonic plague in Europe.
Brought that old chestnut back in the game. God, that's what we're going to be living with COVID, you know.
So there's another dumb way to die.
Yep.
So, yeah, it was happened over a two-year period that the bubonic plague spread throughout some southeast France, killing up to half the residents of Marseille and as much as 20% of the population of Provence.
Shit.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sounds like COVID.
Yeah, well, it turned out the ship had actually been sailing around just collecting shit for this, like a sale or a trade in the commune of Beaucaire. And somewhere along the line, they picked up the plague.
Yeah, and it happens to see. That's the same as COVID. You're just wandering around somewhere, you pick up this disease, no matter how much, you put lotion on the skin, you wear the mask, and you just,
1700s, they didn't put the lotion on the skin, and they were sorry.
You think they had all the rum? Like, that should have sterilized everything.
Inside and out.
So it has several of the people that died on the ship had the telltale signs of the bubonic plague, including buboes, I think that's how you say it, which is painful enlarged lymph nodes on the neck, groin and underarms, which, to be honest, I think I could handle the neck, maybe the groin, but the underarms, nah.
No.
Oh, God, that would shit me.
Yeah, yeah.
So the ship was meant to be quarantined before coming into port just to make sure no one was sick.
Yeah.
But the magistrate had a bit of a share in that ship. So he pulled a few strings to get it in because he wanted some of his cargo.
This is like when they allowed that bloody fucking, was it the Ocean Princess or something like that?
Yeah.
To fucking Sydney and they let all the COVID people off. Jesus Christ.
Yep.
We didn't learn, did we? We did not learn.
No. Reading through this, there are so many similarities that I go, oh my God, we have not learned. We are just repeating the past.
Just a little bit of history repeating.
Yeah. And because no one took the infection like seriously, the numbers climbed like fucking through the roof within days. And they're just like, oh yeah, nah, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Oh yeah.
It'll be fine.
Exactly like Sydney. And then it spread to Melbourne. And fuck y'all.
Sydney, America.
Yep.
Britain. Fuck. We'll be fine. And then all of a sudden, oh shit, we're not fine. Yeah.
We're not okay. Can we have help? Fuck no.
It took them forever.
Oh my God.
So yeah, it was 2 months after the first case of the bubonic plague appeared in Marseille that appropriate measures were undertaken.
Yep, that sounds like Sydney, yep.
Yeah.
Even then, it was sort of a bit of a joke.
Oh, yeah.
It was just way
we're going into late. Hard lockdown, and us Melbourneians like, are you fucking what now?
Us Melbourneians are like, that's not a lockdown.
Yes.
It's a lockdown.
Exactly.
Yeah, so quarantines then were put in place, prompt burials of corpses.
Just burn them.
Distributing food and aid, disinfecting campaigns using fire, smoke, vinegar and herbs started.
So they took the Amy approach, just set it on fire.
Just set it on fire. Yeah, put some vinegar on it, some salt, and then set it on fire.
That's right. Salt the ashes.
And a few herbs. And then it will smell nice. Yes? Great.
Oh, yeah. Light a scented candle, people, because, you're going to need it.
Yeah. So they also burnt the ship. They burnt and sunk it. They're like, that shit needs to be burnt. It's like me and a spider. There's a spider on that. Burn it.
Did I tell you that maybe in a past life, maybe I was French? I bet you I was the guy who was running this shit show. Oh, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Fuck, it's not fine. Burn it all down.
Yeah. Burn it all down.
Oh, fuck, it's not fine. Burn it down.
So, yeah. So, but by all of this time, it was too late. And the epidemic went on to spread from town to town. And over the next 2 years, it took as many as 126,000 lives in province.
Jesus.
People, can we finally learn from history?
Oh.
Are we not going to learn from COVID? I'm worried that our future people are not going to learn from COVID.
No, they won't. And for anybody who's new to our podcast, because we're getting a lot of new listeners lately.
Hey.
And you want to know what we're talking about the Sydney and the Melbourne and the lockdowns, go back to our lockdown episodes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And that'll explain everything we're talking about now.
Yeah.
Sure. People, full disclosure, when Sarah came up with this topic, it was during a team meeting and Sarah was pulling shit out of her ass and Bianca was writing it down in the calendar and I was writing it in our topic sheet that we called the Zoltan, which is the master of all things in our world.
Yep.
Yeah. I wrote down 17th century Europe.
Because you have to listen when I talk.
I wrote it verbatim.
Yeah, see, I thought I wrote it down as she said it. Turns out I misinterpreted this. And, I didn't really meet the brief this week. I had a busy, long-ass fucking week that was a bit mental. And yesterday, these two decide that they're going to start getting their shit together. I had my shit together at the start of the fucking week because I had to. So then they discovered that I'd misinterpreted things. So I had all the full intention to rewrite my segment. And then life happened and I ran out of time between last night and now. So anyway, I was going to rewrite. My topic when I
it was my in. Panic I was having at work. Like, come on. I'd read my segment and I went to put it into the forest and I was like, wait, did I hear it wrong? Did I have it wrong?
No, I had it wrong. I guarantee I had it wrong.
Look, there's 17 in it. We're all good.
Well, see, this was the thing I did. I wanted to rewrite my segment because I looked at 17th century and found everything was really boring. And then when I looked at 1700s very briefly today in the 5 minutes I had to scratch myself, I found a big topic that I wanted to talk about, which was the French Revolution and the rise and fall of Marie Antoinette.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think I had time to cram that into a 15-minute segment? Fuck no. Absolutely fucking not. So I went, fuck it. I misread the brief and you're going to have to listen anyway. So instead of 1700s, you're going to listen to a couple of ditties that I dug up from the 17th century. So for those who don't know, 1700s. So from 1700 to 1799.
Yep, that's the 18th century.
Yeah, 17th century. Yeah, see, it's real fucking confusing. Like, why did they do this? 17th century is 1600 to 1699. So it's a whole fucking different century. Yep.
1601 to 1700.
No, 1600.
Sure.
Yep.
I don't know. Anyway.
Can we Google?
So.
This you Google.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yep, go.
I am just going to tell you my little ditties, and you're just going to fucking accept them for what they are because I didn't have time to rewrite my segment. So, there we go.
I was right.
Cool.
Sorry.
I misread the topic. I am already down the dipshit hole, mate. You don't need to keep burying me in it. Who are you, me?
Well, we've been friends for nearly 30 years, so you're close to it.
Look, it's not often serious to just slam something on you like that, so fucking wear it.
She never gets to. This is like a one in a fucking blue moon thing. So, yeah, when she gets the opportunity, she's fucking ruthless. So, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, sorry. Continue, please.
My little ditties. Okay. I wrote this, people, and I thought I had the topic right, so shut up and listen. Okay, I'll admit I struggled with this one. Turns out all the fun stuff I thought happened in the 17th century didn't happen then, and it happened in other times. So, in fact, I found all of the stuff that did happen during this time. It's not really noteworthy, it was definitely not funny. So I struggled. Yeah, so Trammy style, I decided to discuss actually three things that happened in the 17th century, which I found a little bit quirky and also fucking hilarious. Okay, let's start with the time that angry Dutch mob killed and possibly ate their own prime minister. Yeah.
Okay.
The year was 1672. It was Apocalypse One. Zombie Apocalypse One. No, it wasn't.
Yep.
It really wasn't. Anyway. And Johan de Witt was the grand pensionary, which is not the oldest person in the room. Turns out, I had to Google it. Yeah, it's actually the prime minister. Yeah, it's a different, of the Dutch Republic, as it was known at the time. Yeah. At the time, many thought that de Witt had failed as a prime minister, and they wanted the Prince of Orange, Willem III, to be their leader. De Witt was a Republican, whereas the angry mob were monarchists. So, you know, a little bit of a problem. After several unsuccessful attempts to have De Witt's life cut short, his brother was then arrested on some really trumped up bullshit charges. So while visiting his brother in prison, De Witt was killed by an angry mob that formed outside of the prison. Witnesses at the time say that the mob hung both brothers and then mutilated the corpses.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, got savage real quick. Like, it escalated quickly. It was claimed that some of the members of the mob were eating the flesh of the mutilated prime minister and his brother. In fact, I did find an account, which I was not going to say, but man, I'm drunk now, so I'm going to say it. Someone actually witnessed someone ripping an eyeball fresh out of one of the heads and then munching it down.
Sushi style. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
It was like sushi train.
No one bought it
for like the 17th century. I like it.
See, I probably would have preferred barbecue, Sarah. I'm not a sushi fan, so I would have preferred barbecue. Yeah. Anyway, so another fun ditty.
Okay.
So actually, oh yeah, there's the last one super quick. Yeah, so this is the second one. Okay. Then there was this one time a bunch of English military dudes decided to invade Spain, but they ended up accidentally on walkabout. Whoopsie.
Oh, amazing. Gosh. Amazing. Yeah. I love it. I'm in.
The year was 1625, and an English military man and his mate, who was also a military man, devised a scheme to invade Spain. They convinced Charles I that they should invade Spain and basically plunder all their riches that they were bringing back from the Americas. Parliament were not on board. Parliament were like, no. I feel like that's misconceived. I don't think we should do that. Yeah, yeah, so what they wanted to do was amass an army and basically any of the ships that they ran into on the way to Spain, they were going to plunder for all their treasures. Yeah, because the Spanish were bringing back gold and all sorts of lovely cargo from the Americas at the time. And these English dudes, they were thinking, yeah, we can get it for England. And that's how they convinced Charles I. But mostly they wanted to pocket quite a bit for themselves. Mm. So they gathered approximately 120 ships and about 15,000 men set off. So basically walkabout, right?
Oh, yeah. Except
of men and women. So, and everything else in between.
Yeah.
Then they came back. They set off for the day and then they came back because the weather was shit. So that they came back.
Yeah, obviously.
It was raining.
Yeah.
Shit. So they came back.
You didn't pack your gumboots.
Actually, it's English, so it was probably hot.
Well, they're just
they're not used to the sun.
It's shit. We're going home. We're waiting a day. And they set off again. But they barely had enough supplies to last them a fortnight aboard the ships. The expedition landed in Spain near Cadiz, I think is how you say it. But the brains of the operation noticed that the city was pretty heavily protected, so they abandoned this idea. For a bit of a walk. With night fast approaching, the expedition stopped at a local village in the wine-producing region of, I don't know how to say it.
Andalusia.
Andalusia. There you go. Yeah. Unfortunately, this village had fuckloads of wine, and the army very quickly fell apart thanks to, and I quote, the misgovernment of the soldiers who, by the avarice or negligence of their commanders, were permitted to fill themselves with so much wine they found in the cellars and other places they plundered that they became more like beasts than men. If the Spaniards had good intelligence, they might have all cut us off.
Oh, I love it.
So.
Oh, I love that so much.
The men on the expedition were so hopelessly drunk that their officers abandoned all invasion plans completely and herded the men back onto the ships. So this is like at the end of walkabout and they're telling us that the bus is going and then like all the security guards are trying to force us off the dance floor and into the bus. That's what this looks like in my mind. Yeah. So they sailed aimlessly along a Spanish coast looking for ships to plunder. Is that a plundering one? No, it's one of ours. What about that one? It's the same fucking ship, dickhead. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, they sailed aimlessly looking for ships.
Hello there, anybody on board?
And they were saying hello there, waiting for the Spaniards to come back with their greetings. But then they just got someone who was also English from the boat next door going, hello there, damn it, not a Spaniard, fuck. Yeah, sorry.
Hola, ¿cómo estás, Diaz? Yes, that's the ship we want. Enchilada.
So, it's safe to say that conditions on board turned tits up real quick because they were hungover as shit and they had no food. So it was bad. So the ships decided that they were going to return to England on the basis that so many people were just dying. Like, so many. Yeah. Oh. They're just dying everywhere. So they headed back. They went home. And the main brain of the operation was the last ship to return, right? Because his ship was blown off course and they got lost. They got so lost that they landed in the southern coast of Ireland. That's why that's they were real lost. Home. That's
I just imagine that. I'm really late. Look, I got so lost. I decided to go the Sarah route. So I went through Ireland.
I laughed so much when I read that
route.
via Vegas, of course. I mean, who wouldn't?
I laughed so much when I read this because it reminded me of getting back to Aubrey at the pub in Aubrey when we'd get off the bus on a Saturday and people were there and they were already pissed as shit. Like, I mean, they were pissed as shit as was, but they'd been in the bar for ages. I'm like, how the fuck did they get here so fast? And people were like, where the fuck are you lot? And then we turned to them and said, we were on the bus that went through how long? Oh. And they go, oh, you poor bastard.
Yeah.
So he was last back because they went through how long?
Yeah. And Sari should be indignant about your route. Like, oh my God, my route. No, seriously. Why are you always late?
Anyway.
I don't know. We can ask you the same question.
When I get here and I am soups drunk because they said they were getting here 3 hours beforehand. Yeah, I'm an alcoholic. Whatever. Okay, super quick one. I couldn't find an exact date. But 17th century somewhere, the Finnish came up with a very unusual unit of measurement. Apparently, they were quite prone to doing this, which I discovered in my research.
Oh, really? Yes.
Oh.
The unit of measurement is called poronkusima. Basically, the unit of measurement is the distance a reindeer can travel without having to stop for a piss. It's about 7.5 k's.
Awesome.
So when they say, "Oh yeah, where's the next town?" Oh, it's a poor on Kusuma away. That means it's about 7.5 k's, and that was measured on the basis that somebody was bored and decided to follow a reindeer and see how far they got before they needed to take a wads.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's my bit. It's my bits.
That's your bits. Your bits are out. Put them away. Cover them up.
Bye.
We've seen them enough. Then we're on to my bits. Okay. So my bits. So as I said, I was going to talk about the King of Sweden. But yeah, anyway, I'm talking about him. I'm real drunk. So I haven't written it like the King of Sweden, blah, blah, blah. So mine's just going to start off with coffee. Coffee came to Europe from the Middle East around the 17th century. So I'm leading in from Amy's. It's okay, Amy. I'm leading in. But, right, at first, people didn't know what to think of the dark beverage, right? But coffee always wins, obviously. Always. Yeah. Slowly, the allure of caffeine overcame the initial suspicions of witchcraft and sorcery. Yeah, that was a thing. Then coffee shops were born, or at least places to discuss philosophy and science and all the new ideas that were floating around the world. You know.
Just in my head because I had a lot of coffee and I'm really, really hyped up about this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Jazzed. Real jazzed. So people thought it was wonderful. Yeah. They thought they would never have to sleep again. Yeah. It replaced beer and wine as a breakfast drink. And people began to enjoy the daily buzz and used it to improve their work.
Told you breakfast beers were a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Coffee ruined breakfast morning beer. Drinking.
Yes, it did. Oh, and some people didn't approve. Like
the Swedish. I don't approve.
Yep, the Swedish government. They tried to ban coffee in 1746. Gustav III of Sweden, like, he had this coffee experiment, right? It was a purported twin study ordered by the king. Dude, you spoke about earlier. So the study was on the health effects of coffee. The authenticity of this event is questionable, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. The experiment supposedly constructed in the second half of the 18th century failed to prove that coffee was a dangerous beverage. Yeah, coffee became fashionable among the wealthy in 1746. A royal edict was issued against coffee and tea due to the misuse and excesses of tea and coffee drinking.
But a morning beverage of an alcoholic nature was totally fine.
Absolutely.
And you're shit-faced by brunch. Amazing.
Yeah. Even children. Yeah, children are allowed beer. Yeah, absolutely.
I hate shit-faced children at brunch. I really do.
Yeah. I know. Well, actually, no, I shouldn't say that because during this time, children were to be seen and not heard. And that saying actually stems from...
Drunk children in the coffee shop?
No, it actually stems from people actually, even during this time, didn't name the children. So children should be seen and not heard because there's no point interacting with them because they might just die anyway. That's where that phrase comes from.
Quite actually unfortunate. But, yeah, many kids I looked up, they just died.
That's why I, now finding out that saying, meaning I'm like, Cool. I got told that all the time. Children should be seen and not heard. Dude, you named us. Sorry. That's on you.
You gave me a name. I now have the right to speak.
Exactly. Exactly.
He gave Dobby a sock and now he's a free elf. Good on you.
Yeah. Exactly.
Shut up. Jesus.
Yeah. 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 So, yes, Dobby is mad, placed heavy taxes and levies on the consumption and failed to pay of tax for the, you know, it was fines if you drink coffee, right? And also, not only did you get a fine, but your cups and dishes could be confiscated. Confiscated. Could you imagine the police coming in? I see.
My wine glasses.
Yeah. No. Keep your wine glass. That's fine. Is going to take all your coffee mugs? Oh my God. You're my national treasure mug is my favorite mug now. I fucking love it. Listeners, I will try and take a picture. Remember that I've said this in the podcast. Take a picture. Sarah will have to remind me because she's editing this bullshit. Yeah. But yes, it is my favorite mug at the moment. I couldn't imagine someone coming taking that.
You'd have to drink your illegal coffee out of your wine glasses. God damn it.
Yeah, good point. Despite this, right, because coffee was completely banned, right, the consumption still continued. Nobody fucking stopped. Like,
prohibition doesn't work.
Prohibition doesn't work. So the king ordered this experiment, right, to be conducted using two identical twins. Both of the twins had been tried for crimes they had committed and were being condemned. They've been commended to death. Yep. Because it's like a recommendation. Just, I recommend death. Yep. They can come about reaping.
Here for the reaping.
Yeah. The sentences were life imprisonment, right? On the condition that one of the twins drank three pots of coffee and the other drank the same amount of tea every day for the rest of their lives. So they didn't get death if they did this experiment, right? So they did. So one twin drank the three pots and the other drank the same amount of tea for the rest of their lives. And two physicians were appointed to supervise this experiment and report its findings to the king. Unfortunately, both doctors died. Yeah. Presumably in natural causes. Nobody really knows. The experiment wasn't completed because the prisoners were still alive. I presumably because their hearts are beating so fast because of the coffee and the tea, which also contains caffeine.
Man, could you imagine the condition of their teeth?
Oh, no. So Gustav.
They would have had teeth.
Good point, Sarah.
Good point. Because I can't imagine they'd have food and all they drink is coffee. So,
or any form of real dental care in the 1700s.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Literally out of my 20s where lots of coffee and little dental care. So,
yeah. So not only did the doctors die, but Gustav III also was assassinated in 1792. So he died before the final results. Yeah.
I was going to question this before, and I was like, okay, so the prisoners have got to, like, drink coffee for the rest of their lives. So he was banking on the fact he was going to outlive them. I mean, it's a big call.
Well, he assumed it was bad because beer is good.
He's not wrong.
So. No, I know.
But coffee's good too.
Yeah. So, I mean, of, like, the twins, the tea drinker was the first to die at 83.
Mm-hmm. Shit.
Yep.
Did all right.
Yeah. There's no information that I could find when the coffee drinker actually died.
Well, when he scaled the wall, like literally Spider-Man style, he jumped off the roof thinking he could fly. He was wrong.
Yeah. So yeah, that was that experiment. And then again in 1794, the government once again tried to impose a ban on coffee, even after Gustav III had fucked off.
And everybody forgot what they were doing in the first place. Because everybody involved was dead.
Yep.
What were we doing again? Starting a podcast. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The ban was actually renewed multiple times, like until the 1820s. That's ridiculous. And it was never successful. Like, at all. The ban was lifted. Coffee became the dominant beverage in Sweden. And since and which since has been one of the countries, like, sorry, Sweden has been one of the countries with the highest coffee consumption per capita in the world.
Because you can't tell me what to do. I will drink the damn coffee.
Yep. Plus, they need all the coffee for all the ideas for the furniture. I'm going to call it the Fluxawatsit. Yeah, exactly.
I feel like the names of IKEA furniture came up with when they had way too much beer, though. So.
Yeah. Building it, coffee, definitely. So the experiment has actually jokingly been called the first Swedish clinical trial.
Everybody died. Anyone else forgot what we were doing? The end.
Yeah. And a side note, also in the 1700s, Frederick the Great of Prussia thought that beer was better. He issued a manifesto. Yeah, he went that far. And an attempt to stop
old-timey rant, right?
P.S. I'm not a crackpot.
Mavis, where's my crack pipe? I mean, I'm fine.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was – he was attempting to stop coffee's interference with beer drinking. So, despite coffee's lukewarm reception, the accusations of sorcery and the attempts to ban it, it's still a pretty great drink, I say. And people have been consuming it for centuries as the beverage of thinkers and artists. It's become an inseparable part of modern life. I still like the idea of them drinking coffee and being like, oh, yes, let's just, you know, have a big summer blowout. Yoo-hoo.
Yoo-hoo, buddies, don't you drink that coffee.
Don't tell the government. Don't take your cup. Yoo-hoo.
I'm so sorry. Anybody in the Nordic area of Europe, we're sorry. We mean no disrespect. We're just drunk and we're being stupid.
Yeah. And do we want to have a look at some fashion from the 1700s? I do have some pictures in that folder.
Okay.
If we want to look at it, if we don't, we can totally cut this out.
You mean Sarah can cut it out?
Yeah, let's just see how we go. I'm looking at 18th century shoes.
Yes, okay.
They look painful, Bianca.
Yes, I know.
Now who misread the assignment, 18th century shoes?
18th century is the 1700s.
It's the 1700s, Amy.
It's literally joking because of what we were talking about before and why it's like soup's confusing. And it fell flat on its face. So.
Sorry.
Drink. It didn't make any sense. You might get more Michael Jackson. So on the left is 1730s and on the right is 1740s. All I can see is that it's less ballet shoe. What do you think? It looks like a torture fucking device.
What it looks like is one has a strap and one doesn't, but that could just be a lacy sock bit.
It's a lacy sock because. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. If you have a look at.
Oh, yeah, I see. The toe's not as snubbed.
Yeah. So if you go to the third picture I've got there, not the second picture, which is awesome. I'll talk about that in a second. The third picture is some actual shoes from the 1700s. So you can actually see what they look like in person.
Okay.
So not just an artist impression.
These actually make so much more sense because they've got a back.
Yeah.
The ones that you said before, I used to have backless shoes that I used to try and walk around the city with stocking socks
Clogs.
I used to lose my shoes every third step.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you need bare feet so they hold on. Otherwise, you've got no chance. These shoes make sense because they've got a back around the heel.
How much did your legs fucking hurt after walking in those shoes?
The heels weren't massive, so it was okay. And the bridge, the arch part wasn't like stupid. It actually looked really comfortable. It's just with my stocking feet, I can't hold on to them. And then my toes were like scrunched trying to hold on to the fucking shoe. That was terrible.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
Yeah. So yeah, it's maybe those shoes like 1930s, 1940s, and then Like, this was also 1940s, but an artist's impression was the other picture. And these will all be in the blog for you if you go to the blog, listeners.
If I remember to put them in.
Yeah. If Sarah remembers to put them in. If she just doesn't, like, edit
or
this.
Or if I've cut this whole segment.
Yep.
Because she didn't want to have to go and find the pictures. So she went, fuck yeah.
I put them in the drive. I'm being helpful. So the second picture was one of my favorite pictures of 1700s fashion.
This bitch is chair dancing.
Yeah.
She's
drinking coffee. She's
breakfast wine and coffee. Yep. Look at her. She's ready to bust a tune. Yeah. Oh, she's gonna lose those shoes and she's gonna fucking get her jig on.
She's about to drop a tit.
But it's a right tit, so not the party tit. She was serious about getting a groove on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Special occasion.
Oh yeah. What is she holding in her hand?
Looks like a mirror.
It looks like a mirror. She got to check herself. It's ice cube it.
It actually, in my drunkenness, the two little spots at the top look like eyes and it looks like a clam mouth and it looks like it's screaming.
She's holding a clam.
Screaming clam.
They're like, you know, those maraca things, you know, like those click, 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 click things. Yeah.
Oh, from Shane. Yeah. Nah.
All right. So the fourth picture.
Oh, yeah. So this is an actual dress from the 1740s. It looks heavy. It looks like curtains.
Looks hot.
The other thing I was going to talk about, which I didn't really want to go into too much because there's so much to cover on it, was the architecture. So the 1700s was late Baroque going into Rococo. Rococo is more like fancy Art Deco. So when you think Art Deco, it's straight lines. That's more like the modern version of it. Whereas Rococo had a bit of cameo pieces and a bit more filigree. And it was a lot of soft colors like blue, pastel blue, pastel yellow, gray. And I can't remember. There was like four main colors of the time that were fashionable.
It's not like French provincial kind of.
Yeah, kind of. But as an overall, late Baroque to Rococo for 1700s, as far as architecture went. Yeah. And because history repeats itself, Rococo is actually Art Deco as a modern.
Yeah.
So that was something interesting. I was going to go more into it and I was like, nah, just talk about coffee, some fashion if we have time. That's it.
Coffee
I'm drunk, but I do like architecture because good burns and HGTV, you know, like, yeah.
And buildings that we walk past and we go, woo, that's nice.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Alrighty, let's wrap this up.
Oh, yes, we should, which is me. I actually had fun researching this topic and I looked at a lot of different things. And last week's topic I did half an hour before I started. No, I didn't. It's a joke. I did write it while I was at work. I swear to God. And there's bits of it that were fucked. I know. So glad you didn't have to hear last week's episode, the bits that I cut out. Anyway, we really need some topic suggestions from y'all. If you have a topic which you would like us to discuss, please email us at FridayNightWineFight@gmail.com. Or hit us up. It's FNWFpodcast at FNWpodcast on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, Facebook. Just hit us up. That is our handle. And tune in next week for fake news. Stuff that was a big story and discovered it was all bullshit. Yes, that's right. I'm excited. So to everyone who's listened to this, we would like to thank each and every one of you for your time and listening to our rubbish. We hope that you've found it entertaining and are not using any of, use these facts. They are facts. I've already fucking researched this shit. Most of it's verbatim from Wikipedia. So, you know, use it. Go for it.
If it's wrong, it's not our fault. We copyrighted it off somebody else. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And we have no problem saying where we got it from. Oh, no. No.
Thank you for all your help and hard work so we can copy it.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So, look, just don't use any of the bullshit that we ramble to make important decisions in your lives unless set fire to it. Because, yes, D Definitely set fire to it. Well, I don't know what it is, but set fire to it.
Before you decide to invade Spain, don't necessarily go into the local wine region and decide to just have a little tipple. Because it turns bad, everyone dies, and someone gets lost. So.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much for listening. I'm losing my voice. Peace out.
Bye.
Bye.